There is no terminus, only suitcases. Written by Dirty Binary. Read by Quiet Night. Summary. A collection of Stuckey-centric Tumblr ficlets of varying lengths from 2015 and 16, tidied up and compiled for posterity. Chapter 1. Prompt 46. Considering that the hands of the wall clock are semaphoring 5:30 in the morning, there should really not be so much noise coming from the balcony. Steve fancies himself a reasonable, tolerant person. Now that he's no longer living alone, there are always noises coming from one odd corner of the house or other, noises that would have made him jump a year ago, but no longer do. The hiss and slither of Natasha's ball python, therapy snake. The bang of the door as Natasha herself returns from one of her mysterious after-dark errands. I'm not a spy today, Steve. I can make noise if I want. What do you mean you were asleep? You're an artist. You're supposed to keep artist hours, not go to bed at 10:30. The beat of metallic wings, followed by the thud of running feet on the roof, occasionally punctuated by cursing. Those magpies were not fucking around, Steve. Stop laughing and help. Oh my God! The trouble is that Sam and Natasha are supposed to be in Bangkok this week, having a belated honeymoon but not really. I mean, is it a honeymoon if we're not really married? And when Steve pads into his bathroom, thinking he might as well brush his teeth and go for an early run now that he's up, he realizes that his toothbrush has vanished. This would be annoying in the daytime. At an ungodly hour like right now, it's preposterous. Steve storms toward the balcony. Sam, have you seen my toothbrush? Or Nat, or whoever you guys invited into my house? Because I sure as hell didn't say you could borrow my... He stops dead on the threshold of the balcony. With all his ex-showman eloquence, he says, Oh. Bucky Barnes, former dead man, part-time ghost, is crouched on the balcony, his sniper rifle set up on its tripod and pointed somewhere down the street. What Steve can see of him is approximately one part unwashed hair to three parts menace. It would be an alarming sight if Bucky weren't also contorted into some kind of weird yoga pose in an attempt to reach the grooves on the back of his cybernetic bicep with Steve's toothbrush. Awkward, says Steve, because, really, the last time they'd met, Bucky had been screaming and trying to beat his face in. Bucky doesn't so much as blink. Neither does he relinquish the toothbrush. I need to shoot that guy that lives across the street, he says in his creaky, disturbingly uninflected rasp. Hydra, I promise. So I need your balcony. And later you gotta help me bury the body. Okay. And my arm's got sand in it, so... Bucky waves the toothbrush in an almost sheepish, almost apologetic gesture. Steve knuckles the bridge of his nose. He wants to cry, or laugh, or do both at the same time. But it's too early in the morning for hysterical reunions. He hasn't even gone for his run, for fuck's sake. You better buy me a new toothbrush, he says at last. He stomps over and plops himself down at the rifle scope. Shove over. Let me see this Hydra neighbor. Prompt 46 continued. We should say a few words, says Bucky, hunkered over his shovel. Steve eyes him across the, hopefully inconspicuous, not at all fishy patch of disturbed soil in his former neighbor's backyard. He's sweating. They both are. Please tell me you're joking. Bucky holds his gaze in that unnerving way of his, as if to say, the Winter Soldier does not joke. You should say a few words, he clarifies, after a moment. You do that. You're good at words.
Buck, this ain't a freaking funeral.
Yeah, we put a body in the ground. Steve lowers his voice, glancing around the yard for spies.
Belonging to a guy we literally just murdered. If we don't get out of here now, somebody's going to call the cops.
No one calls the cops on Captain America, says Bucky.
Looking at him is a bit like trying to outstare an owl.
Go on, say some words. Bet you never said no words over me when I died.
Steve opens his mouth. Bucky's lips twitch. I'm fucking with you, Stevie, his eyes say. And God, they've only been reunited for an hour, and already Steve is learning to decipher every micro-expression that flits across his face.
That's not fair, he says. Whatever. What do I even say? Here lies Mr. Gregory Jones in a stinky burlap sack headfirst in a shallow grave. Sorry about that, Greg. But not really.
Bucky amends.
Yeah, not at all. Buck here shot you in the hindbrain because you were spying on me for Hydra. Hope it didn't hurt too much. But at least a little.
Says Bucky.
Yeah, or a lot. Says Steve. I mean, what the hell, man? Sam even made you a casserole when you moved in.
Hope you like your grave, says Bucky. It's a nice one. I'm good at digging graves, he adds, in a confiding aside to Steve. I don't want to ask, says Steve. He steps back from the totally not suspicious grave and kicks some dead leaves over it. Gotta go, Greg. You'll be missed. Except not. Bye.
Chapter 1, Prompt 30.
Says Steve. He tries to push his hair out of his eyes, a nervous habit he picked up during catastrophic dates back in the 30s. It doesn't work so well now. This isn't what it looks like?
Says Sam.
I'm actually not very sure what it looks like, man.
Steve looks around the bathroom. It's a panoramic study in disasterology. Exhibit A, the enormous pile of firearms on the rug, including a long-range sniper rifle that Steve is in the midst of taking apart to clean. Exhibit B, the pair of shovels leaning against the counter, trailing soil and stray blades of grass all across the wet floor. Exhibit C, the dirt caked on his own clothes and under his fingernails, and beneath that, suspicious stains that are most definitely not dried blood. Not to forget Exhibit D, one winter soldier, naked in the bathtub and up to his chin in lavender bath foam, scrubbing out the grooves in his metal arm with a look of ferocious concentration and the sorry remains of what had, up until recently, been a perfectly good toothbrush. A tousled auburn head pokes over Sam's shoulder. Like they just killed a man? Natasha suggests. Wary lines ripple across her forehead.
Nope,
says Steve, plastering on his best Boy Scout smile.
Not at all. Why would you say that?
From under the bubbles, Bucky makes a soft, strangled sound. His large, expressionless eyes are fixed on Natasha, specifically on the small, scaly head poking out from under her jacket collar.
Snake,
he creaks, monosyllabic in the presence of unexpected company.
Yours?
Yeah, says Natasha, looking uncharacteristically disoriented.
Don't worry, she's not venomous.
Cute, says Bucky. The fingers of his flesh hand open and close in a vague petting motion. His eyes, if possible, have grown even rounder.
Introduce me? Later.
Natasha smiles. Almost imperceptibly, the taut lines of her shoulders relax.
Okay,
she says. When you're decent? She disappears again, and Bucky returns to his solemn brushing, leaving Sam and Steve staring at each other.
Ugh,
says Steve, still groping around for an explanation. He gestures at the tub.
I think he's moving in?
Sam sighs.
Yeah, he says. I figured.
Chapter 2, Prompt 17.
Well, says Steve, it looks like we're stuck.
The stranger glowers at the locked door. Then he glowers at Steve, which is frankly unnecessary. In the half-darkness of the art and design stairwell, his pigeon-blue eyes, what Steve can see of them through the rock star shag he has for hair, are so pale they are almost bioluminescent.
Great. Class has probably started by now.
Steve is pretty sure Color and Composition 201 will have ended by the time the janitor finds his keys and unlocks the stairwell door, but the stranger, his classmate, looks so annoyed he decides it's in his best interest not to say so. We were going to be late anyway.
Oh?
Says the stranger.
Were we? Nah, I don't think so. Not till someone was like, I know, let's take this shortcut my ninja spy friend told me about. It'll shave 5 minutes off the walk and we'll get to class right on the bell.
You didn't have to come with me, says Steve, affronted. He would totally have gotten them to class on time, except that Natasha somehow forgot to mention that the stairwell doors in the arts block only open from the outside, and really, he's not to blame for their college's shitty architecture.
Break the door down if you're that desperate. You've got the shoulders to pull it off.
The stranger looks down at his own shoulders, baffled. He wriggles them a little.
It's only our second day of college and you're already talking about destroying school property?
And we'll just have to wait for the janitor, says Steve. He drops his satchel and plunks himself down on the steps. This could be worse. At least he has 86% phone battery, a decent 4G connection, and a cute art history major to keep him company.
Name's Steve. What's yours?
The stranger stares at Steve, incredulous, as if he's just been asked for his credit card information.
Or, says Steve hastily, I could just call you Shoulders. That's what I've been calling you in my head anyway. I just didn't want to objectify you without your explicit permission.
The corners of the stranger's lips twitch. After a brief hesitation, he comes over and sits down next to Steve.
Bucky,
he says.
It's Bucky.
And if you want to objectify me, my best feature is really my hair.
Chapter 3, Prompt 5.
Bucky, says Steve, that thing is on my half the bed.
Bucky doesn't look up. Neither does the amorphous blob of black fuzz currently enthroned on Steve's favorite pillow. The only sound in the room is a faint purring that might be coming from the blob, or maybe Bucky's arm. Steve isn't sure.
She's not a thing, punk-ass, says Bucky,
with a sort of reverent awe Steve usually expects to hear in places of worship, or neonatal wards.
Her name's Helen. Helen is on my pillow. She's shedding.
Helen of Troy, says Bucky, as if he hasn't heard, because she's got a face to launch 1,000 ships, don't you, darling?
His voice goes up an octave.
Don't you, sugar? You start new wars lately?
The blob uncurls. Helen of Troy favors Bucky with a disdainful look and starts licking one of her hind paws. Bucky makes a squeaky cooing noise, and Steve gazes at him in horror.
Bucky, I'm asthmatic.
Nice try, says Bucky.
He rolls over to lie across the bed, his limbs diabolically arranged to take up as much space as possible. Lowering his voice to a conspiratorial whisper, he tells the kitten,
Don't worry, babe. I haven't heard a wheeze out of him in 80 years or so. He's just jealous.
Chapter 4, Prompt 26.
I got you a present, says Bucky.
Nowadays, this sort of proclamation is cause for mild alarm, with the one exception of Hades, the fat white rabbit they picked out together for Steve's last birthday, because Steve, quote, looked lonely, and rabbits were the one animal he hadn't been allergic to as a child. Bucky's gifts tend to be inexplicable offerings of pointy objects and loud explosions. Steve looks up from his tablet, wary.
Is it a grenade launcher?
No,
says Bucky. In the months since Bucky's unheralded reappearance on his doorstep, Steve has become an expert in telling apart his 4 facial expressions and 3 tones of voice. Today he sounds tentative, even shy.
Well, says Steve, let's see it then.
Bucky drops an unmarked paper bag on Steve's bed without comment, and continues to loom over him like a stone gargoyle. Steve peeks into the bag, and then, when nothing seems to be breathing or moving in it, dumps its contents into his lap.
Paints?
Yeah, says Bucky. After an interminable silence, he points to Steve's shield, propped up between the nightstand and Hades' hutch.
Dents. Scratches.
Their conversations are always circular and unrevelatory. This is nothing new.
Uh-huh, says Steve.
Bucky sighs. With an air of extreme tolerance, he explains,
From our fight on the helicarrier.
Oh, says Steve, and then, clutching the paints to his chest, Oh.
Yup,
says Bucky. He squats down next to the hutch and makes a soft humming noise at Hades, who is very large, very furry, and, all deities be praised, has recently had her nails trimmed. She makes a vaguely malevolent rustle in response. Bucky ruffles her fur, and then, evidently satisfied, retreats from the room without another word.
He never ruffles my hair,
Steve tells Hades, scowling.
Why is that?
Chapter 5, Prompt 22.
You hate me now, says Steve.
Bucky can only stare. Their privacy is circumscribed, and he doesn't know what to say. They are surrounded by the subdued murmur of the remnant of the 107th, milling sluggishly in the near-empty mess hall, and rain drums relentlessly against the rusty tin roof overhead. 200 of them before Zano, and now only 30 left. For all his nightmares, he's one of the lucky ones.
Steve, the way you look at me?
Steve goes on dully. He has never sounded this bleak, not even when dying of pneumonia.
When you think I'm not looking, a smile just drops off your face. Guess I can't blame you.
He makes an all-encompassing gesture at himself, at the new muscles beneath the spangled outfit. He's wearing Bucky's spare jacket to hide it, but it's too small for his shoulders.
You were right. This was a dumb idea. I should just pack up and go home. Tell him I'm sick of being their dancing monkey.
Bucky finds his tongue at last.
Steve, he says again, stop it. Of course I don't hate you.
How could you not?
Asks Steve.
I got big and strong, and I was just prancing around on stage while your troop got decimated. No, see? Says Bucky, desperation sharpening his voice. That's the thing. I wasn't going to tell you. Hell, I wasn't going to tell anybody. But then you chose today of all days to show up in the middle of a USO dance troupe, and by now I really should have been halfway to the Austrian border. Steve's expression changes abruptly. What? He sits up straight, all the despair sloughing off him like a snakeskin to leave pure concentration. Bucky sighs, resigned. He knows that look. It's usually preceded by some risky half-baked idea, and rapidly followed by a great deal of violence and injury. I stole a bunch of maps from Phillips's office, and Carter knows a guy who can fly a plane, so I was thinking, you know, can't abandon my buddies when I know exactly where they are. Steve launches himself to his feet. Standing 6'2" in that ridiculous outfit, he draws quite a number of stares. Can we leave now? The end. For now. She makes a vaguely malevolent rustle. She makes a vaguely... Rabbits.